Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, I remember a time in my life when, you know, it's going to be hard for you to believe this, but I remember a time in my life when I was told that I was immature. I can hear the shock in your voices now. I remember being told, it is time for you to grow up, right? I remember being told, you laugh at some of the goofiest things, and it's time to, you know what? Bodily functions aren't that funny, okay? It's time to move on. And I'm here to tell you that since my wife told me that last week, I have taken huge steps in my maturity as a man, and I'm very excited about that. Yeah, you know that's not true. I'm taking no steps. Hey, do me a favor, look at a person next to you and say immaturity. If you're joining online, type the word immaturity into the chat. There's more than five, but I want to give you really quick five signs of immaturity. One of them is temper tantrums, and they come in all different kinds of ages and brands, but temper tantrums. Another sign of immaturity is the need for instant gratification. It must happen right now. Another sign of immaturity is entitlement. I deserve this. It is owed to me. A fourth one is the constant need for attention and validation. And then a fifth one, finally, is being overly antagonistic against authority. That somehow I am always in the right, and those who are in leaders over me, when they don't agree with me, they're always wrong. And I have to move on. And I usually go to some of these things like temper tantrums, gratification, et cetera, et cetera. Those are signs of immaturity. And so today, what I want to talk about is I actually want to spend most of our time talking about the opposite. What is maturity in Christ really look like? And if I might find myself in a place of immaturity in my faith, how might I take steps of growth? How might the Holy Spirit lead me into steps of maturity in my own life? And that's where we're going today. If you brought a Bible, we won't put it on the screen just yet, but if you got a Bible, go to Ephesians chapter 4 and go there or click over there on your device. That's where we're going to spend the rest of our time today. While you're going there, I do want to welcome you. My name is Fritz. I'm one of the pastors here at Lighthouse Community. Super glad you're with us today. I especially want to welcome all of our guests who are here today. And then I'm wondering if everybody who's in the house with me right now, would you do me a favor and show some love and help me welcome everybody that's joining at Lighthouse Online this morning? We can let them know we love you. We're so glad you're part of our church family. We hope one day soon that you'll be able to join us in the house if you're in the area. No, who knows? Maybe you're going on vacation. You heard about how awesome Findlay is as a place to rest and relax. And you can come and join us here. Hey, before we go any further, I want to take a moment to pray. So let's bow our heads and pray together. God, I want to thank you so much for your wisdom and your thoughtfulness. I want to thank you that you save us from spiritual death, and we are born again brand new as infants in Christ. And then you call us up. You call us into maturity. And so my prayer is today, as we talk about this, that this would not be a day of people feeling beaten down or not good enough, or, you know, if only you were more disciplined then, but rather this would be an opportunity that the door would be opened up to say, I recognize where I'm at, and I do want to learn how to trust the Lord in new ways in my life. And so would you lead us to that place today, we pray. And we ask these things through the good and mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Okay, we are starting in Ephesians chapter 4. We're just going to read three verses very briefly. You can follow along on the screen or in the version that you have. And it says this: then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, what Paul is doing here is he's describing both immaturity versus spiritual maturity. And so let's start with immaturity for just a quick moment. He basically says we start as infants. That doesn't blow our minds very much, right? Infancy, you come to faith in Jesus Christ, and now you're a newborn in Christ. It's the same thing very physically, right? You're in your mother's womb, and then you're alive. You are an infant. Now, one of the things that Paul is making very clear here is that infancy is something to move on from. It's a stage that we live in, but then we move on from infancy, right? Because the reality is this, infants are cute until you're not supposed to be a baby anymore, right? Like, you know, can you imagine a grown man walking around in a diaper asking for his baba, right? It's like, that's actually not cute. That's kind of gross, right? Infants are cute until you're not supposed to be a baby anymore. And Christians who get stuck in the infant stage are no longer cute, right? It's not cute. Actually, it's not good. In fact, Paul wrote this in another letter to a church in Corinth when he said, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, he said, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me." Right? Paul is saying it is natural. It is the part of things that we actually grow up and we mature into Christ. It's okay if you're new in Jesus, if you don't know a lot. That's how that works, right? It's a little bit different if I've been walking with Jesus for 3 decades and I'm still walking in infancy, right? That's not the design the Lord has for us. And what Paul does is he goes, listen, here's how you can spot an immature believer. They're unstable in their faith. That's what he says right there in verse 14. He says they're unstable in their faith. In fact, they're swayed and they're tipped by all different kinds of teachings. In fact, immature believers are like ships on a stormy and unstable sea, right? They're going back and forth. He says they're like a flag that's being flapped around in the wind, going this direction, that direction, all kinds of different places. I wonder if you, do me a favor, if you're here in the house and raise your hand, have you ever been on the lake or on the ocean when it's really rough and it's just rocking around? Put your hand up and so you know. Yeah, you know what we're talking about. I remember one time I went on a fishing trip with a couple of buddies up on Lake Erie and we went out into pretty open water to the point where you're not really seeing much land at all and it's just water. And so we're having a great time and we're laughing and then like the waves pick up a little bit and all of a sudden I started to notice the laughter started dying down, right? Like everybody's looking for some point of, you know, vision to focus in on. And we're all just kind of focusing on, oh, you know. And we didn't care about fishing. We didn't care about anything except not rocking around back and forth anymore. That was the only thing we cared about in that moment. And so what Paul is saying, That's how you can tell a spiritual infant. You can tell somebody who's spiritually immature by they're just being rocked back and forth by all these different kinds of teachings. And part of that is because infants can't discern between good and evil quite yet. They can't discern all of the things between that which is helpful and that which is harmful. Right? It's like you have a physical baby, and if they got a hold of a knife, they don't understand which side is the safe end to grab and which side is the less safe end to grab. All they know is there's something there in my pathway to get a hold of. And so spiritual infancy can be very similar to that. They don't really have the discernment for helpful, harmful, good versus evil. And so what happens is they don't know things like this, that there is a devil who is scheming against them. Right? Actually, his entire existence, all he wants to do is steal, kill, and destroy the things of God. That's it. They don't realize that the devil is prowling like a lion looking for someone to devour, right? That there are actually spiritual forces that are opposed to the work of the gospel and specifically to them because they have said yes to Jesus Christ in their lives. Paul says that spiritual infants actually end up believing lies that are so clever, they sound very, very true, right? And spiritual infants have a tough time discerning that between that which is actually true and that which is almost true. And those are two very big distinctions, right? He says, creating lies so clever that they sound like truth. Lies like, live your truth. It has the word truth in it. That seems to make sense. And yet, it's just about 5 degrees off from that which is actually true. Things like, God is only love and nothing else. He is love. But he's so much more than that as well. Lies that are so clever they sound true. Actually, it's responsible to live together first before you get married so you can figure out if that's the right person for you. It's just 5 degrees off from that which is really true. And so what happens is spiritual infants dive into that and they don't realize it. All of that stems all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. If you're familiar with this, this is where Adam and Eve are in the garden. And the serpent, who is Satan, comes to Eve and says, did God really say? And she responded, well, if you eat it, you're going to die. And then this was his response. You won't die. You'll be like God. 3 degrees off, 5 degrees off. Infants struggle to discern between that which is true and that which is almost true. Now, I want to say this, that being spiritually immature is not evil. Being spiritually mature is not wrong. What I would say is staying there is not good. I'm going to say that one more time because I think that's important. Spiritual infants get a bad rap sometimes. And so spiritual infancy is not wrong and it's not evil. Staying there is not good. Okay? And so what Paul does is he says, listen, we're planning to move on from infancy and on from immaturity, and we're going to move to maturity. So in verse 15, Paul describes what spiritual maturity looks like. And the way the NIV translates it says, speaking the truth in love. The actual Greek, a better, tighter translation would be truthing in love. Right? Taking this noun and turning it into a verb. And he says, how do we move on from spiritual immaturity into spiritual maturity? He says, well, the spiritual mature, they truth in love. And so what he's saying is this, mature believers are those who have centered their lives around the truth of Scripture. Right? This is the core of their system, of what they think, of what is true, of what is right, of what is admirable, of what we know about who God is. And so mature believers actually take time to understand truth that is in Scripture. Mature believers are led by the truth of Scripture as opposed to their own views or their own feelings. The mature believers are living in the truth of Scripture. That is very, very different than an immature believer who is being tossed around back and forth by every form of teaching. Now, I want to be clear here. It's not that the spiritually mature don't face challenges in their lives. It's not that the spiritually mature don't have times where they're living on rough seas in the open waters. But it's the difference between being on the open seas and you have a boat and you put a 7-year-old in charge of running the boat in a storm versus a 30-year seasoned veteran who's spent most of his life on the water, right? That's what Paul is talking about, right? The veteran knows how to navigate the seas. He knows how to go into the waves as opposed to letting them hit from the side, right? Knowing which direction a storm is traveling and how to work within that. Can you imagine just the ridiculousness of, you know, putting a 7-year-old in charge of a boat? Like, that's crazy. But this is what Paul is saying, right? That's the difference, right? Mature believers, they can discern truth from almost truth. And then what Paul writes again, he says, listen, we're going to become the mature body of him who is the head, Christ. The other thing that mature believers understand is that life is best lived under the leadership of Jesus. Life is best lived under the leadership of Jesus, that he is the head, he is in charge, right? This is Matthew 28:18. This is after Jesus' resurrection. He's gathered his believers, they're on the mountain, and the first thing he says to them is he goes, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. What's he saying? I'm in charge. I'm the boss. I'm the Lord. I'm El Presidente, right? All of those things. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, right? This is on the screen. Actually, let's do this. Let's read this out loud together, starting with, "And God placed all things." Are you ready? Go. "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church." And so if you're a believer, he's over everything, right? This is what this is saying. A born-again believer's best position is under the authority of Christ in all things. By the way, the exact opposite of that is the essence of sin. Right? The essence of sin is living life under my own leadership with God off to the side. I'll do what I want, however my feelings lead me, whatever seems right to me in the moment. That's the essence of sin. Yes, it manifests itself in lying and cheating and adultery and stealing and all those different types of things. But the core nugget of sin is believing I know better than God. And so, of course, the life of the believer is actually under the authority of Jesus Christ. And so the signs of maturity in a believer are things like pursuing truth of Scripture, choosing community with other believers and living under Jesus' leadership. And so Paul painted this really clear picture that distinguishes spiritual immaturity from maturity in Jesus Christ. Now, here's the reason this is so important, and you have to understand it. Here's the reason. God's plan for every believer is for you to mature in Jesus Christ. It's not for a chosen select few. It's actually for every person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ. We all start as infants, but God's plan is actually for us to mature in Jesus Christ. This is the verse we read last week, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. He says, Paul writes this, he goes, "We will be mature in the Lord as we continue measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." That's God's plan. Did you know that maturity is actually the character of Christ in your life? He's the goal. He's the metric. It's not me. I'm not the standard. It's not Larry. It's not anybody else here. The standard of what spiritual maturity really looks like is the life of Jesus Christ. And every other standard falls so grossly short of what the reality is. And so I want to tell you, if you're like modeling your life after some other human being here, you have fallen far, far short of what God has for you. Actually, the goal is that Jesus Christ would be flowing through you right from your very center. And this is something that the Holy Spirit does inside of you, right? The more your life looks like Jesus, the more mature you're becoming. It's interesting. You'll hear Christians quote the fruit of the Spirit, right? That's found in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, right? Fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? Gentleness, self-control, right? All of those things and more. Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? It's the character of Christ. That's what it is. It's not some separate thing that's off to the side. It's the character of Christ in different language, right? And so maturity is becoming more and more like Jesus. Healthy things under Jesus' leadership grow. Let me say that again. That's a very important truth to take in. Healthy things under Jesus' leadership grow. Now, I don't want you to confuse increasing in biblical knowledge with maturity. Those two things are not synonymous. There are people who have vast levels of biblical knowledge, and they're some of the most spiritually mature people I've ever met. Right? So they don't equate, but actually maturity is applying the truth of Scripture in your daily life. And so don't confuse knowledge with maturity. I remember growing up, my dad used to say this to me, because I would help him work. I shared some of that story last week. But I would be helping my dad, and he was so kind and he was so thoughtful, but he would say things like this, "Fritz, you're probably the dumbest smart kid I've ever met." And what he would say, he goes, "Listen, you can do like calculus. You have all of these things memorized. You can recall them immediately. You have no idea what way to turn a screw, right? You're the dumbest smart kid I've ever met in my entire life, right?" And so the reality is you can know lots of facts about God, but have no idea on how to walk with him. Those are two different things. Now, Colossians, Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, he says this, you know, kind of adding on to this, that don't let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They're puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Right? And so there are people who can know all kinds of biblical things, but they actually don't know how to cling to the hand of the one who holds the universe. Right? That's a very important distinction to make. The other reason spiritual maturity is so important is that God actually uses you to help others mature. This is verse 16, right? NLT puts it this way. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. As each believer is engaging in ministry, taking steps of growth in their own lives, God uses the other believers to actually mature and grow those around them. Another way that Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 3, 6, he says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. Yes, Paul had a role. Yes, Apollos had a role. You had a role. I had a role. Different people had a role. But God is the one who causes people to mature and to grow spiritually. And as you're maturing and truthing in love, God actually uses you to help other believers mature in truth. I appreciate what R.C. Sproul has to say on this topic. He says, there's a vast difference, however, between childlike faith and childish faith, though the two are often confused. He says, childlike faith calls the believer to remain forever in a state of awe and trust of their heavenly Father, while a childish faith balks at learning the things of God in depth. It refuses the meat of the gospel like while clinging to a diet of milk. The call of the New Testament is to maturity. The call of the New Testament is to maturity. And so the question is, well, how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we step into this maturity in Jesus Christ? The starting place is Christ. The starting place is realizing that Christ has died for you. In your place. You deserved his death on the cross. I deserved his death on the cross. And you have to understand that he has stepped into that, into your place. He lived an absolutely perfect, righteous life, which you and I have never done. He never did anything wrong, and yet he took on the full punishment, all of the wrath of God on himself. Why? Right? He died in our place, and 3 days later was raised from the dead to prove that he really does have victory over sin and death. This is the core. This is the core of spiritual maturity. This is the core where you start from being born again. This is a place that actually leads you out of spiritual death into new life in Christ, and you grow in that. You never migrate away from that. In fact, you just keep mining the depths of that deeper and deeper into your life. And so the starting place for every single believer to cross into maturity is to recognize that you have room to grow and mature. Every single one of us. It does not matter if you've been following Jesus for 6 decades or whether you said yes to him 6 days ago. Every one of us has room to grow and mature, because what's the standard? Christ. And if you think you're going to meet that here, I have some news for you. You'll always be growing towards. You never come to that place in this life. You come to that place in eternity. And if you think you're fine, here's the reality. If you think you're fine, you'll miss it. But if you see the gap, right? If you see the gap between you and Christ, then you will. Right? You'll actually step into that. In fact, there's a next step on the back of your connection card if you take a look at it. This is a really great place to put a stake in the ground. Right? It's a next step number 2. It says, recognizing that I'm ready to grow in my relationship with Christ. That's the starting place for every single believer that every one of us need. We've got to take steps. We've got areas where the Holy Spirit touches on our lives and goes, that's out of step with the character of Christ. Actually, that's you pursuing your own thing instead of trusting me, right? And so a great next step is simply acknowledging I've got room to grow. And it seems that after that, that people who recognize that, they tend to migrate towards two primary areas after they've come to faith and they recognize that they need to grow in Jesus Christ. The first is this: they recognize the absolute priority for time alone with God. The priority, the essential nature that believers who grow and mature understand their need for time alone with God. And for most of us, that actually means daily, right? Daily reading the scriptures and then taking that truth with you wherever you go and simply sitting on it throughout the day and letting it shape your thoughts and your decisions and the things you say, right? For me, it's one of the first things I do in the morning. I get up and get a few things ready, and then I sit down and I've got scripture. I've got my Bible reading plan, so I don't have to think about where I'm going to read today, and I just open up and I start reading. And I read, and I let God talk to me through the scriptures. And sometimes there will be one verse that just screams out of the pages at me, and I just have to live on that verse for the rest of the day. Sometimes it's multiple. Sometimes it's a thought that comes in that's supported by these scriptures. But I let that thought just guide me throughout the day, thinking about it. As I'm encountering different situations, I'm thinking, okay, how do I let this truth shape my life in these moments? Time alone with God includes talking with God in the secret places. You might call that prayer, right? Where it's me and him having a conversation. I'm sharing, he's sharing. I'm listening, he's listening, right? And we're just together. In fact, did you know Jesus said that those who pursue God in the secret places receive a reward? You know what the reward is? It's him. Those who seek God in those private places, they're rewarded. They're rewarded with the presence of God. God loves being with you. And time alone with God is one of the most central things he uses to mature him. In fact, scripture says those who seek him, they find him, right? And so time alone with God, it matters. The other thing that I've been doing in a time alone with God, so I'll read scripture each day, but I've also been taking time that once a week, I just do a deep dive into scripture. And maybe I'll dive into a portion of scripture further. I'll look at a topic. But I'll tell you, on my days off, when, you know, I set some time aside, and it can be anywhere from a half an hour up to 2 hours. I'm just, man, I'm mining the scriptures. I'm spending time with the Lord. And you know, I love that time with him. There's something about those deep dives, right? I'm spending time with him every day. I'm letting that guide me. And then I'm diving into truth every week. But if you're going to mature into the character of Christ, it happens through spending time with the Lord. You don't become more like Christ because you don't spend time with him, right? You become more like Christ because you're spending time with him and his character is rubbing off on you. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Time together with the family. So people who mature spend time alone with the Lord, but they also spend time together with the family. I want you to notice something in all of these verses we've read the last 3 weeks. Everything in these verses is plural. It's we. It's us. It's together. It's all y'all's, right? Everybody's in on this thing. We don't only grow by what we do by ourselves. That's one part, but that's not all of it. In fact, verse 16 says the church grows as each part is involved in ministry. And so I want to give you a really clear, simple action step that you would take. Again, if you pull that connection card, look on the back. Pastor Matt already mentioned it. It's joining a Lighthouse group. It is so simple to sign up, right? There's no application. There's no dues. There's no interview. Here's how you sign up. You just write the number of the group out of the orange catalog that fits your day and your time, and you put that on your blue connection card and you turn it in at the end of the service, and guess what? You're in the band, right? Like, you're in. And that's how it works. And so small groups are a powerful way to spend time together with the family. In fact, small groups are a microcosm of the church. And it's one of the ways that we continue to stay small even as the church is growing larger, right? And so there's just a reality that on Sunday morning, we've talked about this before, Sunday morning is a little bit more like the lecture, but small groups are the lab, right? We're like, we're working with stuff, we're practicing things, going, wait, I have this question. The scriptures seem to say this, but I'm wrestling it within my mind. How do I navigate all that? What does that look like? And so small groups are just an indispensable part of maturing in Jesus Christ. Plus, this is a place where every single believer can discover and use their gifts to serve those in their group and those who are out of their groups. And so really, I want you to consider this very first day of signups. Consider signing up for a small group today before you leave. Now, here's the cool thing. About 6 weeks ago, together as a team, we set a goal to say, we recognize we probably need 40 small groups between Lighthouse and Bluffton. And I'll be honest with you. When that number got set, I'm going, we ain't getting there. It's not happening. Last semester, I think we had like 22. And so it's like, that's a stretch. That's a big stretch. I think I heard late last week, between both locations, God has led us to be able to form like 41 small groups between both locations. Is that not cool? Like, here's this thing I'm going, I don't know if we can do this, Lord. And God's like, yeah, let me show you what I can do, right? There are more than enough groups on a day and a time and a location that's going to work for you. I hope you'll sign up. But those who intentionally choose to spend time with other growing believers experience spiritual growth in their lives. Now, one of the things that I see as I'm looking ahead as a church family, when I look at this church family, when I think about some of the people who I know who are a part of Lighthouse Online, what I see is I see a church family who desperately wants to walk with God. I see people who want to know what it's like clinging to the hand of Jesus Christ through every victory, through every heartache, through every celebration, through every challenge. Overwhelmingly, that's what I see when I look over this church family. And I want to tell you that as elders and leaders, what we've been talking about a lot lately is in the coming year, that Lighthouse community is more committed than ever to helping you step into that. And so we're working through how do we help our church family really grasp and understand things like faith and the gospel? How do we help our church family step into time alone with God? What does it look like to spend time with the family? How do we discover our gifts so that we can help others say yes to Jesus Christ? These are the things we're doubling down on as a church family as we go forward, right? As we move to County Road 99, this is not about just hitting the multiplication button and adding more people into a building. This is thinking very, very prayerfully, biblically, and strategically, what does it look like for us to mature and to walk with Jesus Christ? One of the things that I've been learning, the more that the Lord matures me in Christ, the more I see how much more I still have to go to grow and mature. Have you seen this in your own life? That actually, the more mature in Christ I become, I begin to realize just how immature I really am in Christ. It's this crazy phenomenon. And you would think it would get me frustrated or depressed, but actually what it does is it leads me to awe. It leads me to worship. It leads me to gratitude and thankfulness for what God has done. I love what J.I. Packer says. It is in fact a law of the spiritual life that the further you go, the more you are aware of the distance still to be covered. Your growing desire for God makes you increasingly conscious, not so much of where you are in your relationship with him, as of yet where he's inviting you. Right? It's just a beautiful thing. You will never stop growing in Christ. Enjoy the walk. Enjoy the walk. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We close every message the same way. It's asking a simple question, simply, Jesus, what are you saying to me right now through this message? And I just want to give you an opportunity to hear what God has to say to you. Father, the more I look at Jesus, the more I see him in the Gospels and in the Scriptures, I see how absolutely incredible he is. And I see how far you have saved me from my sin. I'm so thankful for the ways you've remade me from a guy who was wandering aimlessly and thought there was no purpose for my life and quite frankly, didn't even know why I existed anymore, to the moment where you opened my eyes to the reality of Jesus, and he changed my life 26 years ago. And I can only say thank you and praise you and walk in awe that you don't leave me as a baby on my own, but you actually walk with me. You nourish me. You nurse me through the ministry of the church, and then you invite me as I'm growing to do the same for those around me. Holy Spirit, would you empower us to think about ways that we can trust you? Maybe ways that we're actually walking in opposition to you. And the scripture is inviting us to turn away from that and to put our trust in you. The Holy Spirit's inviting us to confess, to repent, to walk with you instead of walking on our own. And God, I would pray for any person in this room today who's not come to the place yet where they have said yes to you by grace through faith, that today would be the day that they would say yes. And they would know the joy of being filled by the Spirit. They would know the joy of being made right with God only by Jesus Christ. And they would begin to enjoy the walk. Grow us from infancy to maturity in Christ, we pray. And we ask all these things in the great and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.